Welcome to the Fam Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Phillips. So excited about today's episode and what we're going to talk about. Today, we're talking about church planting and how Fam is planting five churches a day in 2022. That should evoke a lot of emotion with you. It should even raise up some questions about what kind of churches are they planting and how could that be? We're going to answer all those questions and get the conversation going. That's what this podcast is for. So guys, let's get into it today as we're talking about how Fam is planting five churches every day. All right, welcome to the Fam Podcast. Today's episode is all about church planting. I have my co-host Derek Schuchler, Fam's Director of Mobilization, ready in the studio, on site, and ready to get after it in this fun talk we're having today. Yeah,
here we are. We are ready to talk about churches yes. being planted, which is, I mean, that's the goal, right?
You betcha. Yeah, that's how we see it. Mm. You know, today we're going to be talking about how Fam in 2022 is seeing five churches being planted every day, and that is worthy of celebrating.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is a praise the Lord moment for five churches being planted.
Five churches being planted every day.
That's wild. Can't get over that, right?
I know it. And what was so cool, you know, we were together with one of our big South Asian teams just a month or so ago talking about, okay, we're hearing the reports, we're seeing what's coming in from the volume, the quantity of churches being planted, but tell us about the quality. Tell us how they're being planted, what methodology you're using within FAM and how that's going, what you're seeing on the field. And it blew my mind, not just the five churches being planted a day, but how they're planting it, the quality associated with it, and to see the guys' excitement in when they're talking about, okay, here's what we got going, here's what's happening. And in that one state in India that was over there saying, we haven't got to church planting yet.
Yeah.
And right after we got done, they had their first wave of church planting come through, and it was great to see. Yeah, it is amazing how Fam is planting five churches every day. So I'm excited for our partners and future partners and aspiring missionaries and churches that are might be watching this in the future that are saying, okay, what does it look like for us to get part of really establishing churches and particularly establishing them among the unreached?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the audience and these churches that are partnering with us, but there's probably some people in the audience, probably everybody that's going through some emotions when they hear five churches being planted a day.
A lot of emotion.
Yeah, I mean, got to be some joy, some hallelujah, some praise the Lord's, but maybe some wonder too.
A little head scratching.
I think we just get right into
it. Let's do it.
And say, where does church planting come within FAM's process?
Yeah,
FAM's
you bet.
Strategy.
Well, let's take it all the way back to kind of the foundations. When FAM seeks to do its ministry, we have five core metrics that we pay a lot of attention to. Those five are to train leaders, to start story groups, to reach people, to baptize new believers, and to plant churches. So when we look at that, we see that's a great expression of the Great Commission. Training leaders is our go. How many leaders can we send on the go? To make disciples, we do that in small groups. We call them story groups. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, we want to see how many people are we actually reaching in that. You know, that's important to us. And then the baptizing of believers is a great indicator of discipleship. It's straight in the Great Commission. Mm. And we also see its connection to church planting. So we see it's a personal commitment that I'm making with Christ, and it's an inclusion into the body of Christ, which points us to our last and the fifth of the core metrics, the church planting. Mm. So if leaders is our primary input, leaders being trained, we see church planting at a metrics level as FAM's primary output. Everything we're doing is driving to biblical churches being established.
So what drives that being the primary output? Is that primarily strategic? Is it theological or is it practical? What makes that the goal, the primary output?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, really, I think what is driving it at its base level, it's doctrinally driven. The way we look at and interpret the Great Commission puts us on a path of saying, man, to have church planting as our primary output, we see that just, as was said earlier, flowing right through the Great Commission. Mm. Is it strategic? I think it is. Is it practical? You betcha. But it's really driven from us of saying we recognize that from a doctrinal, theological position of how we're going to interpret the Great Commission and seek to live out our life and run our ministry committed to the mission of Jesus, not just our mission, not just our expression. So we train leaders, we start story groups, we reach people and baptize new believers. And then that's when we get to the planting of churches exponentially, right?
Yeah.
Starts with making disciples that leads to biblical churches being planted.
And that gets us right into the title of today's topic, which is how FAM is planting five churches every day.
Yes.
And so let's walk through that process. Let's walk through the journey. So were we always seeing churches being planted like this from the beginning to now?
Yeah. No, we've definitely, and you know, you've been with us from the beginning. We have been on a learning curve of what our church planting orientation should look like, would look like, what we need to bring about for the believers that we're gathering.
Yeah.
I remember when we were starting off in the Middle East, I just had in my mindset 15 years ago, okay, this irreducible minimum expression of the body of Christ, that's all we're going to need. And we'll call them story groups, but they're functioning like a house church. But I realized real quick that what I thought would be enough for the believers we were gathering and how we were living it out, it just wasn't enough. They were crying out, we need a more holistic, comprehensive expression of being the body of Christ for this place. They needed it, and biblically, it needed to happen. So we kept the story group focus on where we were using evangelism and disciple making, that churches would come out of that. And we started putting together a more comprehensive house church model, but it still was small pods meeting all over the city. Yeah. And then we saw that our guys were crying out for even more and saying, man, we have our story groups, we have our house churches, but what about the rest of our body that we never get to know or ever get to see across the city? So we added another component to our church planting orientation.
So they were aware that there's these other house churches around.
Yeah.
But they didn't get to interact with them. They didn't worship with them. They didn't see them.
That's right. Yeah. So we put in a celebration model. And we said, okay, we have our story groups. That's an expression of ministry from our churches. We have a network of house churches happening across the city. Mm-hmm. And then we have a monthly celebration where the majority of the body comes together. Right. And then it went to every 2 weeks. And then it was like, hey, let's do this every week and have different groups shift through and have a special reason for it. But we knew that that wasn't really reproducible, that when and if they go home or to be missionaries to their own people, what do we really want them to replicate? It's not the celebration. It's more the house churches and the story groups. So we had to continually educate them on story groups and house churches are highly multiplicative aspect, and we celebrate when and where we can as long as we can. And as our ministry did start shifting back to these immigrant laborers' home countries in South Asia, that's exactly what they did. So we had to come alongside them to not only see biblical churches being planted back where they live, but how to make them culturally viable. So we started educating and providing materials and trainings and resources for our ministers back in South Asia to have those biblical and culturally viable churches. So the progression just kept going on and on like that. Years of learning curve up and down, seeing something that's not working, trying to address it and fix it. God's grace was all over it in the process. And finally, it's kind of brought us to the last stage that we're currently in right now in our church planting orientation, which is understanding the role of our apostolic teams. And not only their role, but our apostolic leaders' responsibility in the aspect of church planting and their relationship, ongoing relationship to the churches that they are planting, which has helped us. I think this really brought us to the spot of saying we went from planting a church a month to a church a week to a church a day to two church a day, three church a day, four church a day, five churches a day, which we're currently at. This whole evolutionary process has brought us there. But to me, one of the biggest things I see is that apostolic team being made aware of their role, their responsibility, and their relationship to the churches that they've helped give birth to.
Yeah.
It's been real big for us.
Yeah. And we had a big, I guess, kind of a summit for those leaders back in, what was it, 2019?
Yeah, May of 2019.
Yeah, where it was, you could really see them embodying that role that they had as apostolic leaders.
Yeah, that was the big part of buy-in. I think one of the mistakes I made is not knowing that our church planting orientation was off we were ringing the bell, right? Plant churches, plant churches, plant churches. Yeah. They weren't really doing this, but in my mind, it was like they were sitting on their hands and they were like, okay, KP, we want to plant churches, but what kind of churches are you asking us to plant here? You know, we're going to stand before God someday and be held accountable to him for what we've done.
Yeah.
We don't want to create some mutant expression of the body of Christ. We don't want to do something we're not proud of or can stand before God with.
Sure.
And when we help them frame that up in the best way, biblically and culturally viable, that's when we saw church planting get nuts and really an inflection point and a movement of churches being planted.
So you and I, in our build studies, which is our theological education platform, we've talked about, we've seen this, there's a three phases of church planting, kind of a chart that you will, or a process of this. And that really, I think, has shaped kind of how we view the church being planted as well.
Yeah, and that's what's helped us give leverage to our apostolic teams and understanding that role, responsibility, and relationship in these kind of three columns of establishing churches, we could say.
Yeah.
And the first one, just to keep it simple and keep it moving, is the first thing on establishing churches is you have to start churches.
Sure.
And starting churches is done through evangelism and disciple making. Mm-hmm. There's no other biblical way to start churches, but that's not the end of establishing churches. The middle column is represented in shaping them.
Mm-hmm.
So when born again, baptized believers are coming together, they start to get a greater sense for how are we going to be the body of Christ in our community. Yeah. It's our role to help shape them to be biblical and culturally viable churches in their context. But it doesn't stop there either. With the starting and the shaping, it also goes into an apostolic team of leaders, bigger brothers in the faith, continuing to have a relationship of stabilizing those churches.
Yeah.
For years sometimes. Like we see in the New Testament, that relationship went on past 25 years sometimes with the apostolic leaders and the local leaders partnering relationally together to bring a stability to the works that had been shaped and started.
Yeah, so what does that look like? What is the apostolic team's, their oversight? What would you describe it as, an overseer or as a guide? What does it look like in that whole process?
Sure. For our orientation, the oversight of churches is going to fall on the local leaders, the pastors, shepherds, and teachers, the elders that are there locally. Our apostolic teams just fill in a relational role because they've been a few steps ahead or a lot of steps ahead.
Okay.
They're bigger brothers in the faith. And just like Paul did with his relationships, sometimes it's sending letters, our more in digital form.
Sure.
Sometimes it's sending delegates where some of our apostolic team visits and spend times. And many times it's with coaching them up, giving guidance, giving instruction that would be theological to correct issues, that could be strategic or even tactical, and also could be accountability, mentoring, and relationship building for health and viability within the life of our leaders and our church. This is the beauty of an apostolic team really being in the field.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I do want to pivot at this point and and see, we're talking about five churches every day. The last 12 years, our most recent statistics have said that we've planted 5,434 churches over since 2009. So I really just want to ask and pause and say, what does that look like? How has that been? Has it been a steady stream or has it been an ups and downs, a spike? What does that look like? Yeah. 5,434 churches.
Well, I think people would be surprised to know that, okay, they're planting five churches a day. What's that look like? You know, and what we've really seen in our calculations is that of the 5,400 plus churches we've seen planted since 2009, more than 50% of those have happened in the last 2.5 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's recent. That's 2.5 years. That's COVID.
Yeah, that's 30
since
months.
Since COVID started. So, I mean, why do you think that is? 50% in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Why?
You know, it's such an inflection point that we had to take note of it and say, okay, what's God doing? What's happening here? What's happening in the life of our ministry? And what we can figure out is there's two things that have led to this. Number one, it's a maturation of the 55,000 plus story groups that we've started in the last 10 years. And I love that because it shows that our strongest tool we have for leading people to Christ and making disciples is our story groups. And that they're not just getting started, sharing a little gospel and fading away. that over time they're enduring, they're coming together, and they're asking a big question, why can't we be the body of Christ? And our teams are saying, you can when you meet the biblical requirements and you're culturally viable to be that body of Christ, you can be shaped up into a biblical church. So we're loving that. So with 100,000 leaders trained and over 55,000 groups started, we finally, within the last 2.5 years, hit that inflection point. It's really a hockey stick looking move, right? Where it just shot up over the last 2.5 years. And there's a second thing that comes into that too. And that is, as we referenced earlier, the May 2019 Accord.
Sure.
And that's when we brought together, you know, all of our leadership, our top level leadership, and said, okay, what does church planting need to look like within the For All Mankind movement? And so with that thing, what we did is we listened. We heard our guys. You know, like I said, they're sitting on their hands. They're like, ah.
It wasn't fear that they were.
No, they didn't know
what it looked like, really.
I think it was deep in who they are as men of God and as ministers of the gospel, and not just doing something for a paycheck, but living by their calling, but also giving high honor to the team and saying, we'd like to get behind this if you can help us understand exactly what we're going to be doing and the qualitative nature of it. So, yeah, not to toot our own horn, but for the international leadership, what we did was we listened. And what we heard was, we need to help them better understand what a biblical church looks like and what the church as a movement can look like, not only for our team, but for our grassroots leaders and our believers in the story groups. So we put together some resources and some tools that could help exponentially increase our church planting efforts in a qualitative move that could bring about quantity. And the first one we did was a book that we called Movement Church. And in Movement Church, you could say it's a biblical theology on the church as a movement. It's 21 stories through the book of Acts, brings out all the movement-associated principles along with all of those stories, and helps new believers or maturing believers in a story group pre-church get a concept of what biblical church as a forward, rapid expansion of the body of Christ and the kingdom of God could look like. So we gave them that biblical theology, and they're using that within their story groups. Man, I think that was a great tool to get them kicked off. And
yeah, so that's before that they, like you said, before they ever see themselves as a church, but they're starting to see, this is what a church looks like.
Yeah, this is God's preferred future for our life, to be part of the forward, rapid, advancing movement that is the cause of Christ, that is the church, what she always was and should be and will continue to be, right? So that was one of the first tools we gave them. Guys, this tool's going to be available for everyone on the podcast. It'll be a reference to where you can buy it on our website. Man, great biblical theology study through the book of Acts in chronological order to see the church as she always was intended to be, a forward, rapid, advancing movement. So you're going to want to take a look at that. And we've created it in a Western version in the Blue Series. That's good for your church, your small group, asking those big questions.
Sure.
The second tool that I think really set us over the top when it came to our guys, you know, pulling their hands out, opening them wide up and saying, okay, let's get in this. Let's apply ourselves to planting churches like a movement. And that's the second resource and tool that we gave to our team. And that's our book we put together called Church Planting. You know, if you go back to that conversation we had earlier about the three stages or three columns of establishing churches, there's the starting of them, and then there's the shaping of them and the stabilizing of them. This tool, the book we put together called Church Planting, which is seven Bible stories, selective Bible stories, to go from outreach Bible study to church. And well, we put that together. It is a shaping tool.
Sure.
Wonderful resource. You could say it's selective Bible story to shape up biblical churches. It answers that question that everybody's trying to answer of, how do we go from outreach to biblical church? How do we go from story group to church? How do we get to church? And so we've provided this resource. Again, the link's going to be in the notes on the podcast. It'll help you in any situation you're in, whether you're on a fam mission and partnership, or whether you're working with another partner in another part of the world. We want to make this tool available to you to help shape up biblical churches and bring quality into your church planting. So to answer that question, Derek, there's two big things. Maturation of thousands of story groups coming online, and then resourcing our team, getting the right tools and the right coaching into their hands. And really, our quantitative move was built on quality. And I'll go down with it saying we went up in church planting in numbers when we got serious about the quality of our church planting.
That's good. You mentioned there that we have this available for our partners and the Blue Series. We've kind of adapted it for Western churches. But have we seen that happen at all? Have partners used it, and how are they using it?
Yeah, you bet. It was so great. The first church planting mission trip we did, one of the guys on there, it just fell in love with it. He's like, man, I've got a group I'm working with in South America. This seems to be a solution to an issue that we've been having of how to get to church. And he's like, can we use it? And I'm like, matter of fact, we'd love for you to use it. And we've already translated all this into Spanish just for our partners to use. We don't work in any Spanish-speaking part of the world at this current time, but we made that available just for our partners to be a blessing back to them.
That's cool. So FAM, and when we target a people group or place, geographic area, we start with three phases, right, for our movement: initiate, nurture, and facilitate.
That's
how we break through a geographic place.
Yeah.
So where does church planting come in that process, in that strategy?
Man, that's a great question. I think if people are saying, okay, scratching the head, how are these guys planting five churches a day? And surely it can't happen that fast or that cheap or inexpensive, better said. You know, I love David Garrison. Yeah, he's a big hero of ours in our world. And in his book he put together on church planting movements, he had a great quote, and something he observed in the movements that they researched is that we must have a church planting mindset from the outset. He's right. We should. But we implement that church planting. We do have it, but we implement it not at the initiate phase. We implement that vision at the nurture phase.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're initiating movements through training leaders, doing good evangelism and engagement, initial disciple making, bringing them in to where they're being obedient followers of Christ and asking that big question, why can't we be the church?
Yeah.
So when we finally get out of that movement capacity of disciple-making movement that's coming on, a kingdom movement is taking root, that's when we have such a maturation and development that church planting becomes a byproduct of good and effective disciple-making. Yeah. So we're leading our teams to say, get out there in the fields, start engaging lostness, start making disciples, right? Bringing them together in story groups, baptizing new believers, and lead them into biblical church planting at a movement capacity. And when we approach our guys like that, that's when we saw this thing get exponential in not only the making of disciples, but getting into biblical churches being planted.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what partnership opportunity does that create for people that want to join us in this effort?
You bet. I think there's a lot of churches and individuals that have come under a deep conviction. God wants me to be about planting churches and establishing the local body of Christ for every people group, tribe, place that's out there. And for FAM, here's like how we like to say it. We partner with the existing church among the reached to produce the not yet church among the unreached. So for partner opportunities, and man, that's what we're looking for. That's why we're putting this podcast out there. We want to peel the onion back. We want to expose how we plant churches, how we're doing five churches a day so that individuals and churches and other people that say, man, I want to be part of that, they could join us in nurturing church planting.
Let's do it together.
Among the unreached. And so we call that a nurture phase partnership.
Okay.
And what that means is that you say, okay, in that state, in that country, among the unreached, I want to help nurture church planting with my financial resources, with my prayer, and also with my going. So we have church planting short-term mission trips where you can take our content, our church planting book, you and a partner, and go over on an 8-day trip and take a story group or two, walk them through our church shaping tool, and see that church cross the goal line at the end of the 8 days or week of the mission trip.
That's beautiful.
You know, a church doesn't get planted in a week. That group may have been meeting for 6 months or a year, or 3 months or 9 months, but we get to walk with them that last stretch, shaping them up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great opportunity for a church planting hearted ministry or minister or mm-hmm. church to say, man, I want to get some of my key leaders or those that are in my church planting residencies some experience in pioneer church planting that could just inspire our mind and our heart. Yeah. Go on one of our mission trips, use it as a laboratory, and come back and get about the business of planting churches right here in North America in their backyard or in their other endeavors around the world. Yeah. You know, also there's partnership opportunities with our theological education. We bring that in the nurture phase, mm-hmm. right? And it comes in as we're establishing churches, we're pouring in into the life of those leaders at every level of it. And that's really one of your primary yeah. job descriptions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now we have five states that I have a build facilitator, a guy mm-hmm. who's overseeing that, getting it down to, you know, those grassroots pastors yeah. and leaders. Total, we have 1,500 guys.
1,500
guys. Yeah. 1,550, actually.
Yeah. In theological education.
And right? across the board, yes. Yeah. So some of these guys are getting, you know, real deep theological training. And then some of them are getting more just, not basic, but more first principles. How are we getting established in the faith? How am I going to lead this church?
Yeah. And that's our primary goal, right? Yeah. It's not just making academics, but helping everybody up and down the spectrum that are leading these churches mm-hmm. be biblical thinkers. So whether that's at the certificate level or going for their MDiv, we want biblical thinkers mm-hmm. scattered up and down our movements from the grassroots all the way to our top yeah. apostolic leader positions.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, you know, another way that we can partner with that and is so essential, as we've talked a lot about how the apostolic teams really guide the process, is a way that people can partner with us is pouring in and building into the church health and stability mm. by investing in our apostolic teams.
Yeah.
I can't overestimate and overemphasize how important it is for these special forces, Navy SEAL-like guys yeah. that are weaving in and out of the harvest field with those other leaders, right? Down at the grassroots, mm-hmm. just encouraging them, being a pipeline for resources, being a big brother in the faith, and being that loving coworker, mm-hmm. like how Paul was to the Ephesian elders. And we read about that in Acts 19 and 20 and even right into 21 yeah. of that dynamic relationship we had and the emotional intent that was with it mm. and the encouragement that Paul was able to bring into the life of that body just at a relational level. So great way of partnership by investing in our apostolic teams.
Yeah, and they can find out more information on how to do that at our website. I know there's a page specific for partners and how to become a partner. And you can call our church relations team. They love to talk about partnerships.
You betcha.
And then we also have more information about their short-term teams as well. That's another part of my role. So give us a call. Let's talk about how that short-term experience can be an effective discipling tool for your whole body as well. But I do want to pause again because you used a unique phrase that I don't want to just gloss over and miss. But you said we're about biblical church planting.
Yeah.
Biblical being the key word there.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about church planting, but there's a specific word that defines how we're doing it, biblical church planting. Yeah. So in that, are you implying that there is ways to plant churches that's not biblical?
It can kind of sound like that, doesn't it? You know, the intent of biblical church planting is to say, well, the way you're planted, your church is not biblical. I don't think that's the intent of it. J.D. Payne, a professor out and a pastor, he really put together a great book on it and defined it in his apostolic leadership book. And he's kind of been the champion of that language in a couple of his books. Really big fan. Haven't met him yet. Love to meet him sometime. But in that, I think the best way to think about biblical church planting is evangelism, disciple making that leads to churches being planted.
Okay.
Right. How FAM would say it is, we make disciples that lead to biblical churches being planted.
Yeah.
The contrast of that would be a couple, and that would be, hey, anywhere where there's three guys meeting under a tree, that's church. Okay, we've recognized that's some of the church, but it's not all of the church.
Yeah,
there are biblical normative factors that need to be there for it to be a biblical church. So biblical church planting would be comprehensive of all of those factors within the scripture that state it, even if it's at a minimal factor. But it is a biblical church. We see biblical churches also give freedom and license for cultural viability. So biblical church planting is not a cookie cutter. They all have to look like the first century, mm-hmm. or they all have to look like a 21st century Western church. But their biblical church planting leads itself into saying a culturally viable mm-hmm. body that meets these biblical requirements.
Yeah.
Another contrast in that would be to say there is establishing a church in a way that says, hey, we've taken some believers, we've organized a Bible study, we've acquired property land, we've incorporated, and now we're hoping to make some disciples out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's unbiblical. I'm just saying the biblical model of church planting mm-hmm. is that believers go into lostness, engage them with the gospel, start making disciples, and from those disciples made, biblical churches come up. So, man, we're praising God for every occasion that a biblical and cultural viable body of believers is established and is living out the forward, rapid, advancing nature of the church. We thank God for all of that.
Yeah.
But when I use the term biblical church planting, that's how FAM is guiding our efforts mm-hmm. of saying it's evangelism and disciple making that leads to biblical church planting. The horse is pulling the cart mm. rather than the cart trying to push the horse is kind of the best way we would grapple yeah. around it.
So, I mean, this is, it's really important for me. I said earlier when we were talking about the maturation of our guys coming around this idea of biblical church planting. It was yeah. the same for me when I was an intern, college intern, came over in 2010. I mean, I had my experience with church. My grandpa was a pastor. I knew what church looked like for me. But then when I was out there, my irreducible minimum went pretty far down. It was okay. like, yeah, it was the three guys who were in the story groups. That was a church. What else do you need? But then as we're going back to India and we're sending these guys back to the places we go, my own ecclesiology started to mature, I think, where I was like, yeah, it's not enough to just have three guys that are doing it together, a family even. But there is these culturally viable things that we have to have in place. We don't have to have a kids ministry. We don't have to have a building, but we do have to have believers self-identifying together, you know, coming alongside together. I think that's a really important step that we took to make it not just be about the story groups. Story groups are not enough. They're the seed of a house church.
Yes.
But I'm proud that we took that step. I'm proud to be a part of it, but I'm also excited about what's coming next, that there's this tipping point that we've hit, and I hope that continues.
You bet. You know, we're in a big push these next few years. God's doing amazing things in our church planting. We want to see that go from about 5 churches a day to around 20 churches a day. Over the next 4 years, we really are giving an effort to plant as many churches as possible throughout South Asia. We're asking the Lord to bring about 36,000 churches that would take place in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And we're going to need as many church planting, biblical church planting partners who want to align with us and say, for the kingdom and for the cause of Christ and for the unreached, let's establish his body in every nook and cranny and village and people group and tribe and tongue that doesn't have one.
Yeah.
And we need partners to help us get that done together. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I hope it has encouraged you. It's even educated you and fanning the flame that God has sparked in your heart about how he wants to use you in establishing his church where the church does not exist. Listen, we're talking about partnerships. This whole podcast is about partnership, and I love how we express it. FAM partners with believers and the church among the reached to produce the not yet church among the unreached. Now, we've made some resources available to you. They're down in the notes, our church planting book, our movement church book. Join in the conversation, subscribe to the channel, get in on our Instagram, and listen, reach out and let's talk about what church planting partnership will look like between you, your church, and the For All Mankind movement. Thanks for being on the show. Now go and be dangerous for Jesus.